Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Careers in Health podcast. There are a diverse array of pathways in medicine, with dozens of specialties and subspecialties available. However, the tried and trusted college training pathway does not suit everyone. Joining me today are Virginia Cotter and Fiona Robertson, who for their own reasons chose a different direction, building very successful careers as surgical assistants. Virginia is a full-time VMO surgical assistant with interests in plastics, microsurgery and robotic-assisted surgery, while Fiona is a former GP who combines surgical assisting with a passion for writing. Virginia and Fiona, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Fiona, can I start with you? How did you get into surgical assisting?
I actually saw an ad in the paper. A bit restless in what I was currently doing, and I saw an ad in the paper for a now defunct surgical agency, and I sort of had an interview with the person running that and then ended up with another agency.
What about you, Virginia? Where did you start in your pathway through surgical assisting?
Mine is a very interesting one. I did start off as a surgical trainee in general surgery and plastic surgery. It so happened that we had a two-year-old at the time I got into plastics, and very soon I realized that being a mother is a full-time job and being a surgical trainee is more than a full-time job. That's when I decided I'm going to step back from training and see where the world takes me. A lot of surgeons took me under their wing, and now I have been assisting for the last 10 odd years. That's where my background is, basically from surgery straight into surgical assisting.
So Fiona, tell me about what a surgical assistant does. What does your day look like?
Well, I think it's different for every surgical assistant. And from what I know, a lot of us tend to subspecialize into certain areas because it can be, you know, there's a lot to know in each area. For me, I do a lot of plastics assisting. And a couple of other bit of breast and endocrine as well. My day is different depending on who I'm with and different from week to week. Like most of us are on a 4-week cycle. So that's actually quite good because you're doing different things every week.
And what do you actually do? I mean, I think there's a perception from people who don't really know what surgical assistants do that you might just stand there and hold the retractors. But tell me what your involvement is in the process.
Sometimes it is just holding a retractor or cutting sutures, but I think it's different again for every surgical assistant. For me, I do a lot of suturing, and even I'm sometimes involved in planning with plastic surgery because the surgeon will discuss things with me and go, do you think this would look good? Or what about that? You know, just a second brain. And then when I do gynae assisting, I'm obviously operating the laparoscopic camera and some of the instruments. A bunch of different things.
What sort of training did it take for you to get to that point?
Well, strangely enough, you know, 20 years after I'd been in theatre, I just started back into it. There was no specific training, so I actually got a theatre nurse to show me how to scrub properly and glove and gown. And then I accepted jobs which seemed fairly menial at the time, so I could just get used to holding this and retracting that, literally cutting sutures, and then gradually built up my skills. I had some lovely surgeons who, you know, retrained me in laparoscopic camera work and suturing, stuff that I'd never done before as a med student or intern, hospital resident. So it was just a big learning curve. It's still a learning curve.
Virginia, you've turned this effectively into your full-time career, as I understand it. Can you walk us through that? How do you fill in your schedule and how do you make a living out of it?
To be honest, Todd, I love my lifestyle. It's as a mother and as a clinician, surgical assisting has helped me and our family a lot. My day basically starts with getting kids ready to school, to go to school, dropping them off. We have a good understanding. I have a good understanding with my surgeons that I will do school drop off and then go into work. Mine is a bit more, I suppose, hands on, a bit more specialized. I've taken on a bit of robotic surgery, gone and trained in different other aspects as well in assisting, so that I have a bit of a variety in whatever I do. I try to get my day finished by, say, around 5:36. Doesn't always happen. I have come home at midnight, and that's the way it is. It just depends upon your patient on the table, and depends upon how the day goes. There might be patients added on the list, emergency cases, add-ons, and that's the way in, I suppose, in any medical field. More so surgery, I guess, because you never know what patient can walk through the door. Yes, we are in a private theater, private surgical setting, and it's not the public system. So you're not expected to be on call. You're not expected to be doing weekend work. But of course, when you work with a particular surgeon or a particular group, you just volunteer your time on weekends and after hours if it suits you and if it suits the surgeon. And it's usually a mutual understanding, it's goodwill for our patients and for the surgical practice. We're all in this together. It's a whole team in theater, and it's a very nice team. There's usually background music to calm the patient, to calm us down as well. And it's a lovely feeling to be in theater, just doing what we're all accustomed to doing. The surgeon and you develop a relationship when, if there is emergency blood loss, or if there is any emergency situation that you are facing, you work it through together in a relaxed nature. The good part about surgical assisting is you tend not to bring work home with you. When you're at home, you can be focused on your family and yourself. And I personally feel that surgical assistants are very happy and very kind.
How do you fund effectively your wage? Where do you derive your revenue from?
Medicare has most, a lot of surgical procedures have a fee for the surgeon, have a fee for the anesthetist, and has a fee for the surgical assistant. Medicare hasn't been updated in a while, so usually surgical assistants can charge a bit out of pocket. And that is an understanding again that you, it's a consent signed with the patient, it's a consent, a mutual understanding between your surgeon and yourself. Certain surgical practices have a certain percentage of the total quote that they give the patient to include the surgical assistant's fee. Since we, as a group or as individuals, don't have any overheads of secretaries or practice managers, etc., I personally feel it is we are quite well looked after in the long run by, again, by our surgeons, by our patients, and the hospital per se that does look after and understands the value of a surgical assistant and the whole surgical team in theatre.
Is it possible to do surgical assisting as a part-time job or as a sideline business as part of for people who may be specialized in other fields?
Absolutely. And we have a very diverse range of surgical assistants from different medical backgrounds. Actually, we've got proceduralists in pathology clinics. We've got, of course, previous surgical trainees like me. We've got dermatologists. We've actually got retired surgeons who don't want to stay at home and do nothing, and they come and they assist, and they are excellent. Their background is fantastic, and their surgical knowledge and expertise is fantastic. We've got obviously fellows that come, and in their process of their training, they get hands-on training with the surgeon, going through, marking the patient to prepping through the entire procedure. We've got fellows joining us. We've got doctors, obviously, who are medical reps. We've got GPs. We've got such a variety. So surgical assistant does not need to be a full-time procedure, a full-time role. You could be an accountant, you could be a traveler, you could choose. The world is your oyster, and this is the new world we are living in. You don't have to stick to one profession. You can do multiple things that keep you happy, and just a good way for well-being lifestyle that you choose for yourself.
Fiona, there's no college associated with surgical assistants. How do you maintain your development, continue your development, and how do you maintain your standards? Are there any set requirements for surgical assistants, for example, in terms of being accredited?
To be honest, most of the learning that I get is on the job learning, discussing cases, planning surgery, executing the surgery with the surgeon, and I learn a lot that way. Then also there's the Brisbane Assistance Guild, which has medical education meetings, which I try to attend and participate in, my own reading, online learning, conferences. The MSASA conference coming up this year, so I'll be going to that. So yeah, a whole different range of learning, but to be honest, most of it's on the job for me.
Virginia, you mentioned that you've embraced new techniques as part of your career development. Has that been all self-instigated, and how do you go about organizing those things?
Whenever we have a new procedure, I obviously we try to like Fiona said, learn on the job. But before that, a bit of pre-reading is always good. 10 years ago, robotics, or 15 years ago, robotics was kind of new in Brisbane. It was more hands-on. The surgeon who's just retired taught me. And lately, I was asked, "Hey, Virginia, do you have a certificate in robotics?" And I went, "Certificate? There are courses available. If you choose to do robotics, Da Vinci offers courses." So there are learning courses everywhere. Each hospital actually provides surgeons to give insight on what they do and what procedures they do. And if you're new and young into it, there's always help available in whatever field of assisting you might be doing. If it is neurosurgery, the medical reps have courses and they can walk you through their robots. There are robots in neurosurgery too. Their robots or their microscopes. There's always learning available on what and the instrumentation that we use in theatre. There's always somebody ready to teach you what that instrument is used for and how to use it.
Fiona, what are the sorts of things that you like about the career that you've chosen?
I think Virginia already touched on it. For me, the biggest change in my life has been, from working as a GP and thinking about patients a lot after hours, taking cases home, even though you're not meant to. I think just feeling that weight off my shoulders was incredible. I didn't really realize it was there until I stopped. And I didn't stop working as a GP because of that weight on my shoulders. I stopped because I really wanted to write. I wanted to take writing, from a hobby to something that I pursued seriously. And I just felt being a GP is so all consuming. You're trying to keep up with such a broad range of body systems. And I just was worried maybe I might miss something because I'm spending all this time writing and not maybe keeping up as well as I should have with reading. So it wasn't why I left general practice, but when I did, apart from a few teething problems, just getting used to surgical assisting, learning that new stuff, meeting new people, getting comfortable in the role, I still felt that huge relief of that. I'm responsible when I'm there, but I'm not responsible in the lead up to the surgery, and I'm not responsible after the surgery. So that was probably the biggest plus for me.
Virginia, looking back at your career, are there things that have annoyed you about being a surgical assistant and choosing this profession?
Whatever annoys me, I suppose, annoys the whole team in theatre. Sometimes it is the unpredictability of the finish time. And that is, as I've said before, it can happen in medicine in any field. A procedure which is probably about 2 hours can suddenly go to 6 hours. you never know. But that's the diverse nature of what we do. If I have school pickup at 3:30, sometimes it doesn't happen, and I have to make an SOS call to a fellow parent or my husband. And that's, I think, the most annoying thing about surgical assisting. But to be fair, that is just 1%. I mean, 99%, I'm extremely happy being where I am. I suppose if you find your good team, if you find your surgeon that you genuinely have developed this good relationship with, the anaesthetist, the scrub team, as I've said before, it is a happy place. You do not get the title as a surgeon, and all the surgeons who we work with have earned their title. The surgeon is in control. You are there as a support person, and as long as you understand that, and that is an annoying factor for a lot of colleagues that I know, that they can't be in control, and that's okay. I suppose the other annoying parts of surgical assisting, not personally for me, is sometimes we are not remunerated. There are times where we will assist surgeons and Medicare doesn't have an item number. Guess what we get in our bank account? Zero. Very rarely. That happens really, really rarely. And that can happen. So there are a few things, as with experience, you kind of understand the field. And these are, again, very minor things compared to the whole bigger picture of surgical assisting.
Deanna, what about you?
Right now I'm pretty happy, and I don't, there's nothing, maybe just late finishes. I had a couple in a row yesterday and the day before. But mostly I work for surgeons that do plan their list fairly well. So you do tend to finish roughly when you think you'll finish, unless there's a major drama, and that's not usual. But I do think when I first started surgical assisting, it was very hard on the ego for me, coming from a GP practice where I was booked out well, well-respected, lots of patients that I knew and liked. And then you walk into theatre and, you know, no one at the start, no one knows who you are. Some people think you're the nurse. Even if they know who you are, they think you must be doing surgical assisting because you failed at something else. I do think there is somewhat of a perception of that in some people, not nice surgeons and, you know, not a good surgical team, but I do think that can be the perception. So often no one said hello to me, and perhaps I should have bowled up more, but, you know, I'd sort of slip into the room. No one would say hello. I'd stand around till someone went, "Oh, are you the assistant?" So that was hard just in the first year or so. But then, you know, fairly quickly I was with sort of the same surgeon. I had regular surgeons, regular teams, and it becomes, as Virginia was saying, very friendly. And, yeah, you're a team and you're all looking out for the patient, and there's music playing and, you know, there's a bit of banter. It's a lot of fun at work. So I really enjoy it now, but I certainly did have to get used to that change in status and maybe get rid of some of my ego. Yeah.
For somebody who's starting out, how do they go about getting into surgical assisting? And most importantly, how do you start to establish a network of surgeons that you work with?
Do you want to?
Sorry, Virginia, do you mind answering that one?
Absolutely. Like every surgical assistant starting out, we've got new surgeons starting out. They're not established yet, but they're starting out. You can start out together. It just might mean that you have to be prepared to take more on-call work. There's always after-hours trauma. The more established surgeons usually don't take on trauma in private hospitals. They don't, get me wrong, they do. But the minor trauma cases usually are taken on by the junior, younger surgeons that have just come out. Give you a card, put your name out there. Say, "I'm willing to work after hours." We've all done this. To start off with, when we moved to Brisbane from Melbourne for my surgical training, I suppose, I started out that way. Worked on call, worked after hours, worked weekends. You develop that relationship with that surgeon, and then 10 years on, that's team building. You have your practice, your patients together with the surgeon, and that's how you, any practice is probably built for yourself and for anybody starting out. You just put yourself out there, print a card. If you need to join an agency, go for it. They will support you on the days you can work and the days you can't work, sick leave, etc. Whatever it takes, put yourself out there, be enthusiastic. There's always work.
Tell us about those agencies and how they go about allocating you work.
There is a very good agency which works really well for me on the days I don't have regular lists. It's called Australian Surgical Assisting. They do charge a certain percentage, and that's what a lot of companies do for anaesthetists, and any big group has a certain percentage. As I have previously mentioned, we don't have many overheads. So paying a company who helps do your billing, who is always ready to talk to you on the phone. We have a sick kid or we have to look after somebody at home, or we are sick ourselves, they will look for cover for you. That is one assisting group in Brisbane called the Australian Surgical Assisting. They are managed by a few ladies, and they are extremely extremely good to us, and I've been really happy with them. MSASA, which is our group for medical surgical assistants, also does send out lists whenever there's an SOS. I have a big list, I don't have a surgical assistant. MSASA will send an email out to all of us saying, anybody ready to help out? And there's always one of us will say, hey, I have the day off, I'll come and help you. And we have the experience as medical professionals to go and take on anything, be it general surgery, be it orthopedics, be it neurosurgery. We will be there as medical professionals to help you out. We also have a group, as Fiona has mentioned, the Brisbane Assistance Guild, and we send out emails on SMSs and WhatsApp messages. We are there always to say, put our hands up to help out in case there are situations where a surgeon is stuck having no assistant.
Fiona, finally, if there are junior doctors out there who are considering this as an option for their career, what should they do to start getting the experience and skills that they need to make themselves appealing to a surgeon?
Well, that's a tough question. I joined an agency, as Virginia was saying, and they're very good in terms of, you know, you can say what your availability is. And then I think just, you know, you can learn on the job. Obviously, you'll have some skills already, but you can learn on the job and just pay attention to what the surgeon's doing. Listen to what the surgeon's saying about what they're planning for the procedure, and pay close attention to what the surgeon is doing and think ahead. So, you know, even just simple things can really help. If there's bleeding going on and you see the bleeding start up and the surgeon's focused on trying to clamp an artery, you can say to the scrub sister, you know, can you get some suction on board, please? And, you know, just be their second person so they don't have to direct everything themselves. I think just watching what's happening, honestly, is half the battle as a surgical assistant. And, you will listen and watch, and you will learn on the job from surgeons that want to teach you and want to make you a better assistant to them.
Virginia, what sort of experience do you think the junior doctors should have if they're looking at a career as a surgical assistant?
We are very lucky here in Australia. As medical students, we are invited to come into theatre for a rotation. And however junior you might be, put your hand up, say, hey, I would really like to assist. Can I just stand back and assist? The nurses will give you training. They'll teach you how to wash your hands. They'll teach you how to gown and glove. The team is there prepared to, of course, we will ask you questions, but that is not to test your knowledge. It's actually to give you knowledge. So as a medical student, definitely come and show that you're enthusiastic to be in theatre and join us. We would love to have the extra hands. We will probably give you the suction or tractor. And it's very exciting. As a medical student, it's very exciting for me. As a junior doctor in your internship, take it take it seriously when there is a course on suturing. Suturing is an extremely important skill to have when you're a surgical assistant. You are given to close the wound every time. make it perfect, get your skills when you're an intern. As a junior resident medical officer, again, take on rotations, which include surgery. It could be breast endocrine, it could be general surgery, it can be neurosurgery. Take on surgical rotations so that you are comfortable in a theater setting. You are comfortable post-op, pre-op. You can walk with the surgeon, mark the patient, talk to the patient. It's all a learning process. But as junior doctors, you're most welcome to come to surgery. You're most welcome to go to the surgeon's rooms and say, I'm interested in surgery. Is it okay in my free time to come and join you in theater? Hospitals are more than welcome to have you, and surgeons and our team are very welcome to have junior doctors join us.
Fiona Robertson, Virginia Cotter, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on the life of a surgical assistant.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me in the Careers in Health podcast today. For more episodes of this great series, download the MyOSLA app or visit our website at oslacommunity.com.